And this is the familiar Doppler effect. Now, with that as a background, I'd like to make a few remarks about nova spectra in general. If I could have the lights for a moment, I'll just sketch on the board what the spectrum of a nova looks like in a general sort of way. If that is the spectral region, then we have usually a background of light of the different colors, the continuous spectrum. And when the nova is very young, just about at outburst, just at maximum or a little before maximum, we do have absorption lines, as I've been showing you. They tend to be rather broad, and they are nearly always displaced considerably by Doppler displacement from the normal wavelength, indicating that the surface of the star is blowing off. At least that's the way we interpret it. Rather than interpreting it as the whole star moving, we believe and know in fact that this means that the atmosphere of the star is on the move outwards, and since we're looking from down here, everything we see, the displacement, the Doppler displacement, is toward the violet because the atmosphere is for the most part approaching us. Although we're looking at some part of it up here that isn't approaching very much because most of the motion is sidewise, but generally speaking there'll be a displacement. The line will be fairly broad then because parts of it are displaced a lot, parts of it are displaced a little, but generally speaking a displacement to the violet. So we say that the star is exploding. Now, in the next slide, a little later, the spectrum tends to look like this. There is, again, an absorption line, and maybe it's displaced even more from its normal position. But now, there has appeared a very bright emission band, that is, bright line, bright light, about evenly displaced on both sides of the normal position of the line. And these emission bands, at the left-hand edge, the violet edge of the emission band, there is the absorption, the broad absorption line. And the question is now, how do we interpret this, which is the later phase of the spectrum of the nova? Well, the interpretation is well illustrated in the next slide, please. So here we have a picture. What I've been saying before is illustrated on the left here. Here is the surface of the star, the atmosphere of the star, blowing off in all directions, but we're seeing it for the most part blowing toward us, and we get the absorption lines displaced to the violet. Now, if later on a whole shell has blown off to a considerable distance from the star, we would have a sort of a ring or a shell of this expanding gas around here. And now as we look toward the star, what remains of the star, part of that material coming now very rapidly before us is in a condition to produce an absorption line. It's something between us and the photosphere of the star. So we get the absorption line displaced to the violet considerably. But now all this material outside here does not have a background of star behind it, and so it will show as emission or bright light. And notice that some of it is displaced to the red because the light, the source of the light is moving away from us. Some of it is not displaced at all because it's moving just sidewise, and some of it is displaced to the violet because the light is coming toward us. So because it's blowing in all directions and we can see through to what is blowing away from us and also see what's blowing toward us, we should get the broad emission band then, and on its violet edge we'll get the absorption line. Now, when Nova Vulpecula was discovered, as I say, on Easter Sunday, most places in the world, all major observatories got the word Monday, Easter Monday, And because for some reason or other our observatory has never recognized Easter Monday, we happen to be on hand to get the telegram. And as far as I know, I may be wrong, but we may be the only observatory which managed to observe Nova Vulpecula that Monday night. So we have an early spectrum of it, and then we've been observing it since. And now, in the next slide, we'll see what those spectrograms really looked like and see if we can interpret them in the way that we've been talking about. Here, on April the 16th then, which was Easter Monday night, that is the morning of the night of the 15th, 16th, here is a part of the spectrum at the region of H beta, one of the strong hydrogen lines in the blue-green part of the spectrum. And you'll notice that the very broad absorption line at that point, and this tick is at the normal position for H beta. So it is considerably displaced to the left, which in this case is to the violet side. And so this indicates then that the atmosphere of the star was blowing off at a considerable rate. That's a big displacement. When we measured it, it turned out to be over 700 kilometers per second, 400 miles or so per second, so the star was expanding pretty rapidly. But there's very little evidence of any of the bright bands. This is just the spectrum is just tapering off here to the end of the sensitivity of the plate. We have other lines appearing. There's a strong one here due to ionized iron at 4922 angstroms. Here's another one at 5018, and there are lots of others down in the other parts of the spectrum. Now, by the 20th, which was the next time we were able to observe it, 4 days later, to see what had happened. For one thing, the iron lines are now showing distinctly double. A little hard to see. The hydrogen line is double too, and the one component is masked behind the broad bands. The broad emission bands are now showing very clearly in all these strong lines. And the displacement, notice, is considerably greater. And again, 9 days later, the displacement greater still. On the originals, I was able to see the other component in here. And here we have this line distinctly double. What does that mean? That means, I think, two shells coming off, one blowing at a different rate than the other. And down here, we clearly see the doubling of all these lines, and the emission bands are still wider, indicating still more violent activity. Now, the question might arise, there's only one component that's clearly visible here. Does that mean only one shell was going off at that point? And did that shell become the more displaced line, correspond to the more displaced line, or the less displaced line in the lower ones? I think you'd be inclined to say, well, that's a very strong line there, and this is a strong one. So it looks as though it's the strong one that we should associate with that one. Well, by measuring the displacement and calculating the velocities of these shells and plotting them, I think we get the answer, and the last slide shows that answer. Now here, I've made a plot of the time here in Julian days, so that we cover here about 20 days altogether in our plot, about 20 days, and up here are the velocities in kilometers per second that I calculated from those various absorption lines. Now here is the one that I saw on the first plate. And then on the next plate we saw two, and here they are. And on the next plate two again, and the next plate two. And each one of them they see, it's undoubtedly we must associate this first one that was single with that more slowly moving shell of the bottom curve. And we must say this is a new one that appeared. So apparently there were two explosions. And you'll notice that this isn't gas that just blew off and gradually slowed down. This gas is being accelerated all the time. because the velocity is increasing in both these shells, particularly in this one. The acceleration is considerable. In, let's say, 10 days, the velocity has increased from 1,500 kilometers per second to about 2,200 kilometers per second. And then it finally got up to more like 2,500 kilometers per second on this last plate. So there's a considerable acceleration, but that acceleration is decreasing because these lines are curved. So it looks, if you carried it on and on and could observe this more and more, then surely it looks as though that curve would flatten out. The flattening out of that curve would merely mean that the velocity had become steady. And if it ever turned down, it would mean that the shell was actually slowing down. But there's some force in there in the star resulting from the tremendous radiation of this exploded star, which is causing that shell of gas to be accelerated, although at this point it must be a considerable distance from the star already. We could calculate from this curve how far out those two shells were at that point. The first one that went off, it almost looks as though the first one that went off was this one. If we extended that back, we would say, well, that shell started with zero velocity back here and accelerated, and so it became this, whereas this one must have started down here at some time, at a considerable later time. Well, this is familiar in NOVA spectra, NOVA interpretation, that there are successive shells thrown off. NOVA, the earlier NOVA Delphini was an extraordinary NOVA, which had a great many outbursts. Apparently, it was going up and down like a yo-yo in light, and it showed at one point, I believe, as many as 10 components, these shells. It becomes very complex, but this is a tidy little NOVA, well-behaved. It decreased in light pretty rapidly, and what we call a fast NOVA, I think, and it's going to be easier, I'm sure, to interpret the spectrum, and here is kind of an example of how we can make a first interpretation of what happened. Thank you.
Paper is open for discussion.
Maximum light was about 12 or 16 hours after that first spectrogram. The first spectrogram was before maximum light. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It's not very often that a nova is observed before maximum light, and not very often that a spectrogram is obtained. This is one example, anyway. You remember the count of 4.5 or?
Yeah.
I haven't studied that region. Our spectrograms do show H and K. What do you mean by velocity separation?
Well,
that is, H was different from K by
Well,
I noticed some odd things when I was measuring this one. I get distinctly different velocity for H beta from what I get for those iron lines quite close by. And I decided that I'd better look into this more carefully. I'm interested in what you say. I wonder if Yeah, but it's hard to understand it relative to H and K, though, isn't it?
Right,
it hasn't that. Yes, but it hasn't anything to do with the proximity of the hydrogen line at to H. Hasn't it? You can see that well separated.
You can fall down to about 5 kilometers.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that because I began to be a little concerned about the discordance of some of my lines with one another, but I thought, oh, well, I'll average them together, you know.
I think there's going to be a discussion after this meeting's over. Private discussion. Any further questions? I thank Dr. Hurd and go on to the next paper.